Amen. Take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 6. And we'll be looking at a few verses here in Galatians 6, but focusing really in on verse 9 for our text here tonight. One thing I forgot to mention, I'll be in prayer for Ron McCandless and his bride-to-be, Hannah. I especially pray for her. June 10th, I believe it is. They are going to be wed, and thanking the Lord for bringing those two together. And soon, she will be here and a part of this church. And so you pray for them as they're leading up to that wedding day, all right? All right, Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. A principle is being stated here that is can be good or it can be bad. God is not mocked. He's not going to be defeated in his purposes in any way, shape, or form. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Really, the choice now is up to you or to me. You sow to the flesh, you're going to, of the flesh, reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. So it's good, but it could also be bad. The principle that doesn't ever change is the law of sowing and reaping. All right? So we get to verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The message tonight is entitled, Be Not Weary. And in all honesty, folks, the message is really for me, and it was for me. In complete and full disclosure, I've been very discouraged over the last week. And I know, more probably than anybody else, that the devil is trying to defeat me and discourage me, especially leading up into our missions conference. Usually, there's something. The question is whether or not we're going to allow it to be defeating and discouraging, or whether or not we're going to keep our eyes on the Lord. And I know that the devil wants to dishearten me and you, and to get our mind distracted, to have a defeated heart before the Lord can even do something that he wants to do. And so really, I'm going to share with you tonight some thoughts that the Lord reminded me of and encouraged me with this week, and prayerfully it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Again, the title of the message is Be Not Weary. In Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10, we just read a spiritual principle that is universal in its scope. This applies to everyone. It's immutable, meaning that it doesn't ever change. There are no exceptions to it. And it's a fixed spiritual principle that God has ordained. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And these principles never change. They're as true today as they were 2,000 years ago. And this law that we're talking about here is the law of sowing and reaping. There are other laws of God that don't ever change. For example, God said that he would save all who place their faith and their trust in him. That is a law that never changes. It's something that will not ever pass away until God is finished with his purpose. There are no exceptions to it. Another such law is that God's wrath burns against all who do not have Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is an unchangeable, immutable law of God. There are many of these kinds of fixed laws of God, and one of those laws, as we've mentioned here, is the concrete law that a man reaps what he sows. Amen? Sowing and reaping, that's an agricultural term. If a farmer wants a harvest, he needs to sow his seeds in the field. Amen? He's not going to get a harvest if he doesn't sow the seed. There's not going to be a harvest if seed is not planted. The kind, quality, quantity of that harvest depends upon the kind, quality, and quantity of the seed that is sown. Corn seed will always produce corn. A weed seed will always produce a weed. A strong, healthy seed is going to produce a good quality crop. But bad seeds are going to produce a bad crop every time. If a farmer sows plentifully, he can expect a plentiful harvest. If he sows sparingly, then he's also going to reap sparingly. These are principles of God, laws of God that do not change. And I want us to focus in here on verse 9 especially, because verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There are two principles I just want to draw out tonight. First of all, we find the admonition. But then, secondly, after that, we're going to look at the assurance. First of all, look with me at the admonition. There are two admonitions in verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." There are two admonitions here. One is toward our duty, and the other one is away from weariness. So we've got two admonitions. One is toward duty, and the other one away from weariness. First of all, he says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." In this phrase, "let us not be weary in well-doing," there's something implied. Duty is implied here. Well-doing, doing good. It's given that this is what we're to be involved in. Let's not be weary in well-doing. It's implied here that this is what our task and what our job is to be well-doing, doing good. This word, well-doing, actually means, it's a Greek word that means good, it means valuable, it means beautiful, purpose, or content. And so, in other words, the Apostle Paul admonishes us, don't be weary in that which is good and valuable and beautiful in purpose and in content. In other words, don't be weary in performing what is good in the eyes of God, what is beautiful in the eyes of God. This is our duty. Doing good or well-doing is what you and I are to be about. In the context of this verse, it's directly related to sowing to the Spirit. If you notice there in verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, and let us not be weary in well-doing." It's directly related to sowing to the Spirit. What is well-doing? What is beautiful and good and valuable in God's sight? What is our duty to do? What is it that is pleasing to God? Well, this well-doing can mean a lot of things. It's related, first of all, we have a duty, number one, toward God. What is our duty to God? What is well-pleasing to God? Our duty to God is obedience to His commands, amen? Would you say that that is our duty to God? Yes, it absolutely is. Obedience to God is a command. Leviticus 22, verse 31 says, "Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them." Why? I am the Lord. We have a duty and a responsibility to God to obey His commands because He's God. John chapter 14 and verse 15 goes further. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Our duty to God is obedience to His commands. This is part of well-doing. This is what is good and valuable in the sight of God. And although His commands are many, we could spend all night talking about the commands of God. We could focus in on some very specific ones in the fact that related to the law of sowing and reaping, related to the fact that He has commanded us to sow the seeds of the gospel and to preach His word. That is His command. And it's our duty to obey. We've been looking at Matthew chapter 28 in our Sunday school hour related to missions. Go over there again with me. And before we're all done, hopefully you'll have it all memorized. And you should. In Matthew 28, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's making disciples. That's preaching the gospel. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." His commands are many. But we know certainly that He's commanded us to sow the seed and to preach the gospel. "And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows sparingly, he's going to reap sparingly. If he sows bountifully, he's going to reap bountifully." This is a law that never changes. Romans 10 and verse 15, I believe it is, says how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are we to be doing? Well-doing. What does well-doing mean? That which is good and valuable in purpose and content. It's beautiful in the eyes of God. We have a duty to God to obey His commands. We have a duty to self. According to verse 8 of Galatians 6, "Be not deceived." Well, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And then verse 8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." You know, we have a duty to self, to not sow to our flesh. But then we have a duty to fellow man as well. Verse 10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We have an admonition here. Be not weary in well-doing. Well-doing is implied. Doing good is our duty. We have a duty to God to obey His commands. We have a duty to not sow to our flesh. We have a duty to our fellow men. We're commanded of the Lord to sow the seeds of the gospel to every creature. But remember, our command is to sow. Our command is not to reap. Our command is not to manufacture. Our command is to sow. We're sowers, not manufacturers. We sow the seed. That's our duty. The admonition here, number one, that we see in the verse is toward our duty. But then we have an admonition, number two, away from weariness. He says, "Be not weary in well-doing." The word weary here means faint in heart or discouraged. So in other words, don't be faint in heart and don't be discouraged in that which is beautiful and valuable in the eyes of God in well-doing. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't be discouraged. Here's an admonition, not only towards our duty, but away from weariness. When it comes to sowing, we're talking about the law of sowing and reaping. When it comes to sowing, the seed especially, an absence of results can be a cause for weariness, a cause for discouragement, a cause for being faint in heart. In the sowing, an absence of results can be a cause for weariness. You know, sometimes we're like children when it comes to this. You know, like a kid who's learning about plants and he's learning about seeds and, you know, a growing time and a time of harvest and all that. Typically, they're in a big hurry to see the results, aren't they? They want to plant that seed in the ground, and in the same day, they want to see that thing pop up and see a harvest. Probably a lot of farmers who are like that too. They want to go out and sow the seed in the field and hope for that payday next week. But it doesn't work that way. It takes long patience. many times to see the results. In James, go over to James chapter 5. I believe it's James 5. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. In context, James is talking about the coming of the Lord, but he uses an illustration of a farmer who goes out and sows the seed in the field and has long patience waiting for the fruit, that precious fruit, to come in. And when we're talking about this idea of sowing the seeds of the Word of God, and we're talking about what the admonition of verse 9 says, don't be weary in well-doing. The absence of results can often lead to discouragement or weariness. We could have this emotion. You know, I've done this a long time, and I've worked really hard, but it doesn't really seem like it works. It doesn't really seem like it's real and genuine. What's the point? I'm laboring in vain. We could have that emotion. We could have this kind of an emotion or thought. You know, so many people don't respond at all to the gospel anymore. But some do. And even those turn out to be untrue. And we can become very cynical. We could find our work and our labor not producing much, and we could say, you know, those that do respond, they seem to be genuine, but then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they just disappear and go in a different direction. What's the point? What's the use? You know, maybe they become like the stony ground that we talked about in Matthew chapter 13 on Sunday, where the seed is received with joy at first, but there's no root, and they spring up as if it's all good, but there's no root there, and they end up being scorched when they're offended at the word. Let's look at it again, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We read in these verses about the stony ground. Just skip down to verse 20. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. You know, we can have the heart attitude that no one responds to the gospel anymore, and then even those that do turn out to be untrue, even though they seem to be so genuine, all of a sudden, they just disappear. What's the point? They received it with joy. There were signs of life, but soon they're offended because of the word or the demands of Christianity. You know, a few times of that happening can cause somebody to start to wonder, is it me? Am I doing something wrong? I know it's not the seed that's bad. Understand what I mean? It can be a source of discouragement. A lack or an absence of results can be cause for weariness. And this is the kind of thing that can bring about discouragement in our well-doing. We can become faint-hearted. We can say, what's the point? People are just not responding to the gospel with genuineness anymore. How was it? in the first century that daily people were saved and added unto the church. You see the potential for being weary and well-doing? Usually, though, this kind of discouragement comes because our focus is on the reaping or on the harvest. A lack of real harvest can be discouraging if we forget the fact that it's our job to sow. The harvest belongs to the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Know ye not that we shall... Is that right? Am I in the right place here? That's not the right verse. Let me check here. I hate it when that happens. Let's see. I'll find it here in just a second. Yeah, it's chapter 3. Sorry. In verse 6, it's my dyslexia, I guess. Chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul says, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Hey, we all have a job to do. Our job is to plant. Our job is to sow. It's God's job to give the increase. We're laborers together with God. And usually that discouragement can come in this well-doing when our eyes are focused on the results. Our eyes are focused on trying to get a harvest rather than remembering the harvest belongs to the Lord. It's my job to sow. I'm a laborer together with God. Paul himself experienced weariness in the work, but he never experienced weariness of the work. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Even though Paul himself faced a whole lot of tribulation and persecution and even rejection, yet through all of that, he maintains a cheerful peace. He never loses heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at some of the things that he endured. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I would say that he experienced all kinds of things that could cause weariness and discouragement in the work, wouldn't you? And yet, as a minister and a preacher of the gospel, he maintains a cheerful peace amid those things that could cause discouragement. And besides that, he exhorts the saints of God to cultivate the same spirit. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look what he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says in verse 13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Here's his encouragement and exhortation to cultivate this kind of a spirit despite the things that he went through. Paul said concerning Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 3, we believe it was Paul anyway, the writer of Hebrews, nonetheless, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, says in Hebrews 12 and verse 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Paul experienced weariness in the work, but never weariness of the work. And he says concerning Christ, "Won't you consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." We're talking about this admonition here, away from weariness. And we find that when it comes to sowing, an absence of results can be the cause for weariness if our focus is on trying to reap a harvest rather than the fact that we're laborers together with God and it's our job to sow. A second reason why weariness can come about is because of a misunderstanding of the ways of God. A misunderstanding of the ways of God. So often God's ways are hidden. We know that His ways are higher than ours and His thoughts are greater than ours. So often we don't understand exactly the way that God works in the heart of a person. We do know that results don't appear at once, very typically. God works sometimes very slowly, but He works surely, and He works at just the right speed according to His will. Our tendency so often is to get ahead of God. Amen? Don't agree with that. That's not a good thing to agree with. Our tendency is to get ahead of God. That applies in our personal life. You know, things aren't going exactly how we think that they should go or how we want them to, and so we take things into our own hands rather than resting in the Lord. Getting ahead of God. It applies in the work of the Lord. We're not seeing the right result of people getting saved, and so we try to manufacture one. That may lead to trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit in someone's heart, and we can't do that. The admonition is toward our duty and away from weariness. And Paul says, you just keep sowing good seed. Keep your eyes fixed on God's purpose. Trust the Lord with the rest. Be not weary in well-doing. The well-doing is implied, that doing good. But don't be weary in it. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. Don't be discouraged in it. Because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's the second principle here tonight, is the assurance that we find in verse 9. He says back there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In due season we shall reap. Here's the assurance. You know that phrase, due season? If we were to put it in our terms, it basically means in God's time, not ours. In due season. In God's time, not ours. And the truth of the matter is, for us, it may not even be in this world or in this life at all. We may be only sowers here in this life, and yet we still shall reap in God's time. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58 again. We just read that a minute ago. Paul Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whether we see a harvest in this life or not, that really doesn't matter, because the law doesn't change. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The admonition of the verse is toward well-doing and against weariness. But why is weariness deprecated here? Why is the encouragement and the admonition just to keep on doing good, keep on sowing the good seed, and be not weary in that? Why is the weariness deprecated? Well, first of all, number one, because weariness invites failure. Weariness invites failure. What do I mean by that? Well, we've got a job to do. Amen? Amen? We've got a job to do. We've got a work to be involved in. We've got a focus that we're supposed to have. But when weariness sets in or discouragement sets in, it invites failure, because the task that is before us now is just listlessly performed. Our interest in it begins to wane. No great results are ever expected. We don't expect people to get saved, because we've lost confidence in the power of the gospel. We don't pray. It becomes mechanical routine, and it gradually steals into the very, very thing that is the best service of all: sowing the seeds of the gospel. Our attitude conveys no inspiration. We're not excited about our task, but rather depressed. And we have no vision for the lost souls all around us. What I'm saying is, weariness and discouragement invites failure. Weariness and discouragement, number two, may lead to sowing to the flesh. See, because our spiritual purpose is not before our eyes, we've lost confidence in the power of the gospel. We don't expect people to be saved. We don't pray. What's the point and what's the use? Well, then what's going to come next? A sowing to the flesh, because the fleshly and the temporal interests of life are going to take over. That is the nature of humans. Why is weariness deprecated? Because it invites failure. It leads to sowing to the flesh. But thirdly, it leads to dishonoring Christ. Galatians chapter 6 here and verse 14 says, Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Paul basically states here, is there any kind of value outside of Jesus Christ in this life? No, there's no value. And he says here, the old desires and the old ambitions of this life ought, as it were, to have no more meaning to the child of God. Our life ought to be lived in Christ, our ambitions toward Christ. And if it's anything else, it's dishonoring to Christ. He says, I'm crucified unto the world and the world to me. And there's nothing to glory in save in the cross of Christ. The world is dead to me. I'm dead to the world. Weariness invites failure. It may lead to sowing to the flesh. It certainly leads to dishonoring Christ. I don't want to do that. And so he says, be not weary or faint of heart or discouraged in well-doing, or that which is valuable and beautiful and good in the eyes of God. Just keep going. Keep sowing. Because this is an unchangeable law. In God's time, we shall reap. He's the Lord of the harvest. Amen. It doesn't matter how many times people say no. It doesn't really matter how many times it looks like people receive the word with joy. Keep sowing the seed. Don't be discouraged in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the unchangeable principles of God's word and the promises of your word are sure and true. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to keep our eyes fixed on the purpose and on the goal. The goal is to serve the Lord, to be obedient to the commands of Christ, to be sowers of the seed, to water and leave the increase and the harvest to you. And Father, it can be discouraging if what we're looking at is, or looking for, our results. But what we need to be is just obedient to the command to sow. Father, I desire for you to be glorified in my life, for you to be glorified in the life of this church. And Father, the way to do that is to love you with all of our heart, to serve you with all that we have, to trust in your power and in your might and your spirit, and to be faithful. Father, I pray that there wouldn't be discouragement or weariness in this well-doing, but a claiming of the promises of God, trusting in the power of God. Father, that you, in all of that, would bring glory to yourself. Lord, I pray for our church that you'd strengthen us. You'd grow us in our faith, grow us in the Lord. Clear up our vision that we might be laser focused on what our purpose and responsibility is, not just as a church, but also as individuals. Not just corporately, but personally. And Father, that we'd be like Paul who said, I'm crucified to this world and the world to me. The old ambitions of this life, they're dead. My life is in Christ. My ambitions are toward Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged in these principles and these truths and the promises that never change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.